Good morning and welcome to Finding Your Way Home. I am your host, Sherry Doherty, and I'm delighted to be with you every week talking about the Kingston and area local housing market. Today, I've decided that we should focus on condominiums. I'm not sure how much people know about condominiums, but we're going to go back to basics just to make sure that people actually understand what a condo is and what it means to them if they decide to make that part of their lifestyle. Now, any good realtor should sit down with you when you start the buying journey and do what I refer to as a new buyer intake. And one of the questions that I always ask people is whether or not a condominium would be something that they would consider. Of course, we also talk about whether they'd look at a semi or a fully detached home, what neighborhoods, whether they'd like a bungalow or a multi-story, all those really important questions. But condominiums often come up. There's so much information that people don't know about condominiums. So I thought as we're still kind of laying the foundation for these shows, we're going to explore a variety of different topics and give you just little bits of information. And then we'll continue to deep dive into them as time passes. Now, it is very commonly known that the condominium market in Ontario is extremely slow, particularly in Toronto. I've heard some crazy statistics about whether or not there was not another new condo startup in the next 2 years, we would still have inventory on the market if they didn't build another one because they're that slowly turning over. And condominiums that were selling even 5 years ago for $500,000 or $600,000 are now selling in the 350s. So if you're looking to pick something up in the Toronto condo market, it's not a bad time. You just have to have a lot of patience for that market to rebound. Now, thankfully, for very many reasons, we don't live in Toronto. Our condo market is also softer, and it does take time to sell condos in our region. However, I'm happy to report to you that last year, 23% of the sales that I made were actually condos. And that was a surprising statistic even to me. I know that we all talk about the condo market being so quiet, and I was doing some data reflecting and thinking about how 2025 had gone for me and realized that 23% of the units that I moved were actually condos. So I'm going to self-appoint myself a little bit of an expert. So going backwards, let's talk about what a condo is in very plain language, just to give people a really good general understanding. And then we're going to talk about the pros and cons of ownership in a condominium and the key things that people should consider if they are thinking about moving into a condominium. So by definition, a condominium is a home where you own the individual unit, but you share ownership of the building and the common areas. And simply put, you own everything inside the walls. And the condo corporation, which is typically how these entities are formed, which you become an owner in, owns things like the roof, exterior, the lobby, elevators, if there are some, pool, parking lot, landscaping, and all sorts of things like that. So the financial structure is that you become a shareholder of the condo corporation, and the corporation, which in it itself is an entity, actually is responsible for the building, maintenance, structure, often things like landscaping and snow removal and all those sorts of things. And you own everything that's inside your four walls. Now, of course, that comes at a fee. So you will pay monthly into condominium fees to cover all those things that we talked about. And condo fees can be very expensive, to be completely honest. There are condos in our region that have monthly fees upwards of $1,200 a month. And that's not your mortgage payment, that's just your condo fee. And then you can find some that are more like $400 a month, but I don't think I've even seen any that are much south of $400 a month. So, and that's getting you basic things, just like I said, your elevator, your lobby, your parking, and the common area things that are in the building. So you do absolutely have to ask when you're exploring a condominium whether or not that's something that you can actually even afford, is that additional payment. Because even if you were pre-approved for a certain amount, that certain amount might not have also considered a hefty condo fee that would be a new expense that you would have. So you would have to go back and reconsult your mortgage agent if you were going to explore a condominium. Typically, you would think about an apartment style building. There are lots in Kingston. We have little three-story buildings all the way up to the massive luxury ones that are right on the waterfront. Those are the expensive ones. There are also townhouse style homes, something like Frontenac Village, which is the place right behind the Slush Puppy place with the red roofs. And that offers a great lifestyle. I'm very familiar with it. I work in there often. And then sometimes there are even detached homes that are under a condominium corporation structure. It's a little bit rarer, but mostly in our region, we see the apartments and the townhouses. So what are the good things about living in a condominium? The best thing and most relevant, obviously, particularly after this winter, is that it is essentially maintenance free. So you don't have to shovel, you don't have to mow your own lawn, you don't have to worry about replacing the roof. It is really, really great for busy professionals, people who are retired, or people who are snowbirds. Great thing, I'll use Frontenac Village again as an example, is lots of people live in there. They turn the key in November, they go somewhere south, and they come back in April, and they're ready to resume their life. But all the property and all the surrounding areas in the complex they live in have been maintained and cared for by the condo corporation. So that's one great bonus about living in condominiums. If you don't want to mow your lawn or shovel your snow, this is a lifestyle you might want to consider. The other thing is predictable shared costs. So if there is a major roof repair or if there are windows needed to the entire building, that's shared amongst all the condominium owners. Now, I think this can kind of come at a pro and a con, because in some cases, depending on where you live, there can be very large special assessments, and a special assessment we're going to talk about in a little bit. But that's when the condo corporation comes along and says, okay, you're paying $600 a month for regular condominium fees, but we need to do a one-time special repair to the building that's going to be really expensive. So for the next 3 years, that's going to be another $400 a month to contribute to this entire roof repair. And I've even seen those be $100,000 per unit in some of the really nice buildings downtown on the waterfront. So you need to be prepared for that. And part of my mindset is, if you live in some of those buildings, you probably have access to resources, and that may not hurt as much as it would to the typical homeowner to have to come up with $100,000. I wouldn't want to have to. However, the idea is that when there are repairs like this, it is being shared amongst you and all your neighbors. So it should soften it ultimately. Now, the other thing is, it gives you the opportunity to have access to amenities that you might not typically have access to. So you may not be able to afford your own pool. And with these kind of living arrangements, you're going to have a pool and a gym, often party rooms, in some cases, a overnight suite that your friends and family can come and stay in. There's concierge services. There's all sorts of things that you may not be able to own or have if it was just your own independent living space. So those are some great features. Another thing that's really important, and you don't necessarily get it in your single family home, is a lot of these buildings come with security. So most of them have controlled entry, and it is a close-knit community. So people notice when somebody's in there that shouldn't be. They all know who their neighbors are. And so you do feel safe. Potentially, if you were someone who lived alone, I would feel safer in something that had a controlled entry and where I knew that my neighbors were keeping an eye out for me and they knew who should and shouldn't be in our complex. It also, again, provides a great lifestyle flexibility. We have lots of military people, lots of educators, and we have lots of military people and doctors in our region, and they all have very busy, busy lives. So it's great that it gives them some flexibility with their schedule. They can turn the key and go. That also works, like we mentioned, about the snowbirds. People just want to be able to turn the door. So there's lots of big benefits to considering this lifestyle. The biggest con, though, of course, is going to be the cost. So you have to weigh the pros and the cons and see if the cost is worth it for you. So moving on into the cons then, the number one con of living in a condominium is that there are never-ending condo fees. They're never really paid off. They most likely will increase over time. And there is the risk at any time of one of these special assessments that we talked about. You also have less control about deciding when the common elements will be repaired. So in your home, if you had a single family home, you could know that sometime in the next 3 to 5 years, I'm going to need a new roof. So I'm going to put aside a roof fund. And unfortunately, in a condo complex, unless you're on the board, you probably don't have a lot of say about when they decide that's going to happen. So you do have to have like a good bit of pocket money or some money set aside for when they may come along and say that they're either increasing the condo fees or that they're coming along and saying it's time we need to make a major renovation. So you don't really have too much control over that. There will also be lots of rules and regulations. So there are always condo board documents that you want to read in detail before you sign on to have this lifestyle. And they can be things, honestly, like the color of your blinds that can be on the exterior, or the height of your fence, or whether or not you can have a barbecue, or where you can plant things. So some people don't like rules very much. And the one interesting thing about rules is under the Ontario Landlord-Tenant Agreement Act, you can technically not restrict people from having a pet unless that person is renting from a condo board and the condo rules say that there are no pets. If that's in the bylaws, that overrides the Ontario rule that there are no pets. And there are some condos in our region that are very pet friendly. They're kind of unrestricted, but there are others that have zero pet policies. And if you have a fur friend, that's probably very important to you. So you want to make sure that you check on things like that before you sign up. I know I've talked about this a lot, but again, special assessments. What happens as well is the condo corporation will go through a reserve fund study every so often or a couple of years. And if the auditor determines that the reserve fund is too low, because they do need to be reserving money for liability reasons, which we haven't even touched on yet, and or major repairs, then they're going to have to reach out to all of the homeowners and ask them to increase their condo fees so they can build back that reserve fund. And that actually often happens after a special assessment, because they will have used as much as they can without making the reserve unhealthy. And then after you paid the special assessment, your condo fees might go up again because they need to replenish the reserve fund. So it's very technical and there's a lot of money there. We always make sure when we make an offer on a condominium, it is conditional on the review of the condo documents by a lawyer. And we make sure that that lawyer looks very closely at the health of the overall reserve. So those are really important things. The other one con that's kind of left to talk about is you're part of a corporation, so you don't get to make independent decisions. You can have influence because they do listen to the members who are part of the corp, but you also, to get a little bit more influence, maybe ask to volunteer on the board of directors and or on any of the committees, but you don't get to make an independent decision that today I'm just going to start putting a barbecue on my property when they told me that I couldn't have a barbecue on my property. That isn't just how it works. So there's many things that you need to consider if you were thinking about making condo life for you. And again, when you are looking at these, just make sure you really look into the details and really take your time with it and make sure you have a professional review them with you. So the condo fees, the first thing is find out what they include. Sometimes they include heat and water and parking. Sometimes they include nothing. And those are also additional expenses you're going to need to plan for if they're not included. So is it the heat, the hydro, the parking? Is there internet included? Is there snow removal? Is there building? Typically, there's building insurance. Is there garbage pickup? What is all included in those condo fees that you're paying for on a monthly basis? As I mentioned, you want to make sure that you have a reserve fund study done by your lawyer who's working on your real estate transaction for you. So they want to make sure that it is healthy and that there is plenty of money there to make sure that it is being protected and that the condo corporation is being run efficiently and effectively. So honestly, like, also not too much money being stuffed in the condo corporation, but not too little money being put in the condo corporation, so that in the event something does come up, that there is money there to pull from and all the residents don't have to come up with a very large emergency fund without any warning. The history of special assessments, so you do want that also looked at, is what has been done recently, because that will tell you what doesn't have to be done again for potentially another 10 or 20 years. So if the roof has been done in the last couple of years, that's probably a good thing. If the elevators have been maintained, if there's a pool, when was the last time the pool was repaired and or replaced? Because those are very expensive. And how frequently are those things taken care of? Windows as well are big ones. And if you go back in the special assessment history and you see that none of those things have been done in a very long time, you can bet that they're coming up, because those things do come up in any structure and in any building. And so you want to be asking questions about, okay, I see that the roof hasn't been done in 10 years. When's the plan? Or are we starting to prepare for an assessment of when the roof is going to need to be done? The status certificate needs to be reviewed. So again, I mentioned that when we make an offer on a condominium, we always request the status certificate of the individual unit, as well as the overall condominium documents and bylaws. And the individual unit is really important as well, because you want to make sure that the person that you are buying from is in good standing with the condo corporation. You want to make sure that all of their condo fees are paid up and current and will continue to be up until the day you take possession of the property. There is another thing where in buildings where there is a special assessment, it can actually be part of the negotiations in making the purchase, whether or not the seller of the unit pays off the special assessment before the buyer takes possession, or whether or not that is something that the buyer is willing to assume, because there's real dollars there and it is a cost. So as part of the real estate negotiation, it is determined who pays the special assessment if there is a current and active one. Another thing that we're digging in there is to see if there's any active lawsuits against the condo corporation, because becoming part of the condo corporation, you assume a level of liability for that. And so we always look to make sure that there aren't any active and open lawsuits that are against this condo corporation. And if we do, the lawyer absolutely explores it, sees what the risk involved is, and whether or not it's something that they would recommend to this potential buyer that they can tolerate the risk for. I know I mentioned it already, but there are most cases pet policies. So it's either you can have any pet you want, except for the things you can't have, obviously, that are not regulated in Ontario. But you also, they can say the number of pets you can have, the size of pets you can have. Some of them will say you can have up to a 20-pound dog, but you can't have a dog that's more than that. And some people just don't like that. Obviously, our pets are very important to us all. Another thing that they can impose rules on is how you use the unit. So if you were thinking about buying a condo as an investment purchase, a lot of investors do for their first investment because they can rent it out to someone. A lot of the buildings don't allow you to rent it. It needs to be for personal family use, or maybe to unrelated people, it will say, but many of them are not interested, particularly in student rentals. So they're not going to let you buy a 3-bedroom apartment in some of our buildings and then have 3 unrelated students living in it. They also are often not interested in short-term rentals. So if you were thinking about putting it up on Airbnb, you may not be able to because of the condo bylaws. And all of these things need to be really closely looked at before you purchase a condominium. The additional thing you need to be considering is the age and the condition of the building. Again, we talked about this already because we want to know when the roof and the windows are going to be repaired or when they last were repaired, so that you can plan or put aside a slush fund for a potential special assessment. You also need to think about how it's insured. So this is an interesting one, but you actually insure, like we talked about, all the things within the four walls. So kind of like renter's insurance, but you insure your contents with your personal home insurer, I'll call them. So all your clothes and your personal belongings, your furniture, your TV, all of your things. But the condo corporation actually would insure the building. So in the event that there's a fire, the condo corporation's insurance company would pick up replacing the building structure, but your personal insurance would replace your contents that were within the structure. So you might think, I live in a condo, I don't have to have insurance. That is incorrect. You do have to have insurance for all of your personal belongings and your personal contents. So keep that in mind, and it's another cost that you need to factor into the whole equation. The additional thing is whether or not the unit comes with parking and storage, and is it common area parking. So lots of the smaller buildings, say in the west end of Kingston, have open lots, and you just pick whatever spot is available for you that day, but there should be a spot per unit. Or do you have exclusive use parking, which means it would be numbered parking, and it's actually deeded to your condo unit, so you get parking spot number 3 every single day. A thing that really matters to people is whether or not there is underground parking. There aren't too many buildings in Kingston that have underground parking, so that is a big benefit if you come into one of those buildings. We live in Canada. No one wants to have to scrape ice off of their car or get the snow off of it, particularly, again, after this winter. So a lot of people will say, I want underground parking. There's a couple of good buildings that do have underground parking. And again, Frontenac Village has underground parking. What I've been asked a lot about recently as well, though, is EV charging and whether or not these buildings provide EV charging. So some do and some don't. But if you own an electric vehicle, you really want to make sure that the condo that you're purchasing into has an EV charging station, because that's going to cause a challenge if you're not able to charge your vehicle. Same applies for lockers. So in more likely the apartment buildings, you might want a locker because the units don't necessarily have tons of space like a basement you'd have in a traditional home. So there's often a locker attached to it, which might be in the basement. In some cases, it's actually in the underground parking. But you want to make sure that that is also exclusive to you as well. Obviously, you don't want to share a locker with somebody else's stuff. Those things are typically deeded to the condo unit, so you want to make sure that those are yours and yours for the exclusive use. Now, big bonus in Kingston if you can get a unit that has 2 parking spots, which is fantastic. Obviously, those units would come at a premium because there is an additional value to that. And even in some cases, people pick them up and they don't use the second parking spot, but they rent it out to other people in the building who do want a second parking spot. The other thing you need to think about is your lifestyle fit. So are you okay, potentially, if you're in a building, knowing there's someone above you, there's someone below you, there is potentially someone on either side of you? How much noise transfer is there? Are you comfortable using an elevator on a regular basis? So if you do have a pet, do you want to have to go down multiple flights in an elevator or in stairs to take your pet out multiple times a day so they can relieve themselves? That's definitely something to think about. There are options, like I was saying, there are some that you can get like a main floor condo. You could literally have a bit of a backyard that you could walk out then. And some of those are lovely because they're right on Lake Ontario and you end up right on the walking path, which is beautiful if that's the lifestyle that you're looking for. But then there are other options where there are condo townhouses where it is more like a traditional home and you would have your own potentially fenced backyard, so you wouldn't have to worry about an elevator. And that's a big thing. People really care about elevators and people really care about, a lot of cases, single level living. I had a condo for sale last year which was beautiful, but it happened to have 7 stories in it, so it was definitely difficult to sell because a lot of people who were looking to move into that community were looking for single level living, or at least 1 or 2 levels, because they were downsizers. So condos are definitely an interesting option for people. I really like some of the units and I often think about whether or not it's something that I would explore. You do have to sit down and look at, you know, all the pros and cons that we've discussed here today. It's a great option for many people. And like I mentioned, whether or not you're a downsizer or a first-time buyer, whether or not you're an investor, again, you want to check whether or not you can actually rent out the unit. Professionals who travel, they love them. Snowbirds love them. And it's just, if you're tired of winter, this is a great solution. Now, what I would say to people is we've just stepped into March and we are on the cusp of a spring market. I know I've mentioned it previously, but we live in a military town and we are about to get people in on their house hunting trips, as well as just a traditional Ontario spring market. We have that extra factor sector here. So there's going to be a lot of activity. We're already seeing a lot more listings coming on the market because people are going to try and get as much exposure as possible to their home and to their listing. And we're starting to see the buyers kind of crop up a little bit because honestly, I didn't even want to go out in this January or February, let alone go out and try and open an icy lockbox. But people are starting to wake up and the market is about to get busy. There are a lot of condominiums available right now on the market. If this is a lifestyle that you think you'd be interested in, I highly encourage you to start your search now before the rest of the spring competition comes out. There are some that have been there for quite some time. So if someone is still sitting on the market, you know that they do want to sell. So that often means that the price is negotiable. And you want to capitalize on that before the rest of the competition comes out. Because even sometimes our military members, because it's an easy lifestyle, will move into those and they might start to snatch them up. So this is something, if you've had it with this winter and this is something that you've thought that you want to explore, it's absolutely the right time to do so. I highly recommend that you start your search and really look at all the buildings and look at the options. And one of the greatest places, of course, to start is, you know, where do I want to live? What's on my must-have list? And some people will say, you know, absolutely must have underground parking or covered parking. I am not doing another winter. Agreed. I think that people should have that on their must-have list. Some people, particularly if they're downsizing from, say, their big home that they raised their family in and they just want to have a little bit easier lifestyle, have said, I've always dreamed of waterfront. So when I move into a condominium, it absolutely must be waterfront. And I agree with them. If I was to do it, I would want waterfront too. So you can kind of sit up and look at the beautiful perches and look at the water and enjoy it from your maintenance-free condominium. That's a beautiful thing that you might want to consider as well. You want to know the number of bedrooms that you want. Is it important to you that there's a pool? Because you really want to look at the amenities. You also want to consider where it is. So are you someone who continues to use transit? That may mean if you are that parking isn't important to you. A lot of people want the walking lifestyle who choose to live in downtown Kingston. So they'll either walk to the university, walk to the hospitals, walk. I don't think you'd really walk to the military base. Well, those guys are in really great shape, so they might walk to the military base. But often they just want to be able to walk to the local restaurants and entertainment and grocery stores and all the great things that downtown Kingston living offers. There's also a couple of really great condo buildings. I know that there's a couple of spectacular ones in Gananoque. I love those waterfront ones right in Gananoque. There's also a really couple of popular buildings in Napanee that people really enjoy, and they offer some great opportunities. The one thing I would say is there are condo new build projects going on. I would be very careful and make sure that you consult your experts. As I say with almost everything, you should consult your experts before you actually make a deposit on a condo new build, because at some point they won't actually put the shovel in the ground until they've sold a certain number of units. And so you want to know where you are in that and what their timeline looks like before you're thinking, oh, I'm going to move in a year and maybe it's actually going to be 3 or 4 and they're holding your deposit and the project's delayed and there could be lots of complications. So just be really, really careful. At any rate, there are so many incredible options for living in our region, whether or not you are looking for a condominium, if you're looking for your first home, an investment property, a recreation property. I'm so excited in the future. We're going to do an episode about recreation properties, and there's nothing I love more than an August good summer showing. That is one of the joys of what I do for a living, is just getting to see all the amazing lakes in our region, see all the amazing cottages, or some people live permanently at the homes, and helping people find that, because it's a great joy. And we live in this beautiful region that offers all of that. So I am excited that we will be doing an episode about that in the future as well. There's just so many great topics to uncover. You could also send in a suggestion to the station. If there's anything that you've heard me talking about that you'd like us to explore more, then I'm more than happy to do that. Or my contact information is everywhere. If you just wanted to look me up, you could also contact me directly, because I'm totally open to knowing what our community wants to learn about. With that, I do wish you a wonderful day. I thank you for tuning in, and I hope that wherever you are, you're enjoying your home your way.
Hello, hello. Welcome to All the Feels on Island Radio 101.3 FM. You're here with Anna and
Dee.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm like good and bad.
Okay, yeah, fair. There's a lot going on in the world right now.
There's a lot going on in the world. I feel like my little special part of the world is pretty darn great these days.
Right, yeah.
Been feeling good. Yesterday was incredible with that weather.
Yeah.
So nice.
It was so good.
It's like life changing. It's like something switches in your brain and you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah,
like
it's not gonna be winter forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's changing.
And like, even though today is cold, like the sun is still shining and it's very, very pretty outside.
It is. Agreed.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other stuff, not so good.
I know. It's like in Canada there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
that I know of anyway.
That I know of, right? I'm sure there's stuff going on.
Yeah.
But when we look to the south of us, there's a lot going on and it's not good.
It's not good. And not across the pond either. I have a lot of coworkers in the Middle East and, you know, it's tough being that close to it and having friends in like areas that are being bombed. Coworkers that are now in hotels because their buildings were right next to the buildings that were being bombed. Like,
man,
it's heavy.
What do you do if you can't afford a hotel?
I honestly don't know.
Like
go stay with friends or family, I guess.
Like, that's just like so sad. Like, what if you don't have friends or family? You know? Like,
I have no idea.
Like, that's what's sad.
Yeah.
Like, that's even worse.
There must be some kind of like shelters or something.
Right.
Like, war related public service kind of stuff, but I don't know. Luckily they can afford that,
right?
But dude, I just can't imagine. Like, it just gives you so much gratitude for living here,
right?
Like, one of my coworkers has a 4-year-old kid and they're like in and out of the shelter. Like, pretty much every building has its own shelter in it, in like the basement, but when a siren goes off, like their phones are all connected to like the sirens and they get these alerts, and then they basically like run down to the basement and they could be there for like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And so you, like, she was saying that like she has to like go up and do everything that she needs to do like right away.
Work wise
are just like making food, like gathering all the water. Like, they don't even have fridges and stuff down in these shelters so they can like store food.
Wow.
And like, you know,
so alarm goes off, it's panic time, get everything done, get down into the basement, like you have X amount of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, her son's 4, so he's like, when's the next alarm? When's, you know, like freaking out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's just unimaginable for us here.
Right.
And just to see it like firsthand and see pictures of them hanging out in the shelter and like trying to make the most of it, being like, oh, like this shelter is better than the one at my mom's because like her son has friends at this one and they can at least play.
Right.
You know, like,
man, it's just heavy.
It's heavy. So, you know, I'm good, but I'm just really feeling for all my buds today.
Yeah.
Yeah. War is so shitty. And I just, I hate that our world is run by these angry men. I'm just so over it.
I know. Like, war is not the answer. Like, it's been proven time and time and time and time again. Like, war is not the answer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's so frustrating. And I just, you know how, like a lot of conspiracy theories have been proven true in recent days?
Yeah. True, but, like, just, like, off or, like, on the wrong side. But, like,
yeah,
kind of true. Yeah,
but, like,
yeah,
there's a lot of truth to, like, how screwed up everything is. Like, now my algorithm has gone full conspiracy theory. And I'm, like, fair enough. Like,
right.
It might be all run by aliens. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
I think staying off social media for a little while is probably the right answer.
I think I need a little reset.
Yeah.
Just, like, pull my world back, you know?
It's just because, like, everyone can have an opinion. Like, I just watched, like, a reaction video before coming here. It's, like, this lady in Glasgow went to go see, like, some sort of, like, K-pop tribute.
Okay.
And she thought it was, like, she told her kids it was K-pop Demon Hunters. And then so her kids were sad. And then she made, like, a rage video. And then it's just, like, it's just the internet. Anyone can post their opinion.
It's true.
And it's just, like, so many people are wrong.
So wrong.
So, so very wrong.
That's the thing, right? It's, like, media, even though it was, like, biased and run by, like, media
conglomerates,
you know, in the past, like, at least it was curated to a certain degree.
At least you had to be a journalist, right?
Yeah.
You had to have, like, some sort of integrity and, like, code of ethics and stuff like that. But now it's just, like, yeah, I don't know. It's like,
who do you believe?
Yeah, like, it's so tough because there's so many opinions out there.
Yeah. Have you seen the whole thing with Jim Carrey?
No.
So apparently Jim Carrey, like, went to some premiere and he looks totally different. Like, uh-huh. Either had, like, a bunch of Botox or, like, work done, but people are totally convinced that he's, like, a clone. And,
oh,
like,
my God.
Someone's off Jim Carrey.
Oh, my God. It's the whole Avril Lavigne thing. Why does this happen to Canadian actors?
I don't
and
know.
Musicians?
I don't know. And he was speaking the truth, you know, to the power. And so they're like, oh, he's being, like, covered up. And
oh, my God.
I need to get off the internet.
You do need to get off the internet. I prescribe you 1 month.
Oh, that's tough.
1 month off social media.
I will take you up on that.
Okay.
I'm going to take on the challenge.
Okay.
The month of March, no social media. You're going to have to run our band account.
Oh, no.
We're putting it on the drummer.
Yeah, it's all Jesse. Jesse likes it, I think.
Well, there you go. All right, let's listen to some music.
Okay.
Up next, we got Broncho.
Dina walking like Mother Nature. Dina talking like Jesus hates you. She's too good to you. Jesus walking like he's on water. Jesus talking like he's on water. He's too good to you. Took a bug on again while she came in. Right. Just another one of us to be. stuck up thing I hate. Please.
Welcome back to All the Feels on Island Radio 101.3 FM, the show where we feel and reveal a little too much. What did we just hear?
We heard Somewhere Without Me by Alien Boy. Before that, Sitting Confused by Flowers for Emily, and Dina by Broncho.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like the conversation got like a little dark. It did get a
little dark. I mean, it was the last time we talked too.
Yeah.
We're just in a little bit of a black hole over here.
It's like, it's, which is so weird because I feel like we're both in like pretty good moods. And like we've got the window open and it's like nice and sunny and warm in here and it's like a really nice environment. But then we're like, you know, you're going to issue the death penalty or we're having an abortion. Like, trans people can't drive in Kansas. Like, just, like, all these things that just make zero sense. But, like, I think what it kind of comes down to is accepting that we're somewhat powerless towards a lot of these decisions. Like, without, I mean, protesting is one good way. Like, yep. It's working in Minnesota. Like, I mean, people are coming out and like the whistles are blowing, you know, like
it's true. And like, we can do that here. I feel like, I just feel like we need to bring our circle of influence a little tighter home. You know, right. Like maybe I can't affect the laws in Kansas, but I can like support the community here.
Right. Like support your trans community here. 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I think we have to remember that because we know so much more than we should. Like, we're just processing so much news.
Yeah.
That, like, our little bodies can't handle all this. Like, if you're an empathetic person, like, it's dire.
But we're lucky in a sense because, like, we grew up with the world before this.
Yeah.
Before the internet. Like, we know the before times.
That's,
you know,
true.
Where it was different. And so like we kind of know how to manage like social media and the internet and like everything that's like coming at us. Like, can you imagine just being like, this is your world and you're thrown into like knowing all this information?
That's
like,
true.
That's so scary.
It is scary. And like, I have friends that are high school teachers and they're like attention spans are just wrecked.
Right.
Like, my friend can't even get her kids to watch like a 20-minute video anymore.
Right. Yeah.
They don't watch movies. Like, teenagers don't watch movies.
No?
Because it's too long.
Oh.
They can't keep their attention for that long.
Man. Well, like, even, like, Netflix, like, even admitted that they basically create slop so you can be on your phone and, like, watch a series. Like,
right.
So it's, like, there's these down moments where it's just, like, you can be doing other things and still having, and still, like, watching Netflix, having your Netflix IV
oh
in.
Oh, my God.
And it's, like, they've openly admitted that, you
yeah.
know? And it's just, like, I don't know. It's just kind of crazy.
Well, like, there's got to be this backlash. Like, you know how there was, like, a return to craft at some point when, like, the Industrial Revolution happened and it was all factories and stuff? There was this return to craft. And I feel like there's got to be that kind of return to craft in terms of, like, media.
Right.
Like, I mean, the Kingston Film Festival is going on right now. Like, that type of thing is awesome. Like, that appreciating the art,
right,
and not just content that's made for consumption, like you were saying, like something that's manufactured to keep you
to keep your attention span. Yeah,
yeah.
I actually did go see Whatever It Takes, the Degrassi documentary, yesterday at Isabel Bader, and it was actually really sad,
man.
Being like a child actor sounds terrible.
I have not heard, like, a positive story about being a child actor.
Yeah, I don't know many child, like, stories either where they're like, I've succeeded in life.
Right.
Like, it's like, no, like, drug addiction, eating disorders, like,
fuck. I mean, I feel like the best story, conspiracy theory-ish, but Jason, but I fully believe it, that's, like, come out of all this crap, is, like, the clearing of Michael Jackson's name. Have you heard of this?
No.
So basically, because they've revealed that all of the other like media giants were pedos, Michael Jackson is actually the one that like was protecting these kids. And like his Neverland was to like bring kids and have a safe space for them and only to have fun. And it's been like Macaulay Culkin and like Aaron Carter and like some of these kids are like, no, Michael was like the sweetest person on earth.
Wow.
And you can totally see how that narrative would have been flipped on him.
Right.
Of course the pedos would turn it on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, no, he's the pedo, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like fully believing in my heart that Michael Jackson was like the good one.
Right.
That's the conspiracy one I believe at this very moment.
I hadn't heard that, but there is a Michael Jackson movie coming out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I was on the fence of whether to see it because I enjoy like music, like biopic kind of things, you know? But I was like, I don't really want to support, but now maybe possibly knowing that.
Right?
It might be something.
Yeah. Like, hopefully I don't eat my words and he's just a part of the pedo bullshit. But like, I don't know. He experienced abuse.
Right.
Like, it makes so much sense that he would like
want to protect,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man. Crazy.
But anyway, I deleted social media on my phone.
Yes, Anna is going 1 month, no social media.
Yep, I'm doing it.
You heard it
here
first.
They're all uninstalled. Yes. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, they're gone.
Nice. Very, very proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
I will follow up next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going on vacation too, so that will be good. Like, I'll also have something to distract me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be on social media on vacation.
No.
And I'm not really, like, I don't post anymore, really.
Uh-huh.
Like, maybe the occasional story, but, like, I won't feel that pull to, like, be like, look at me.
I'm
on the beach.
Yeah. I know. Just making everyone feel terrible who's in Kingston still and it's, like, brown snow.
Yeah, exactly. The melt. The big melt.
Yeah.
Oh, worst time to have dogs.
Yes.
The melt. Although your dogs are short hair.
They're short hair, but still, like, their paws just get so muddy. I guess, like, Ruby would have been a lot worse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just like clung and like all in her like chest and everything.
Right.
Be like full on baths every time we walked outside.
I know. And it's so gross too. Like I obviously like I wipe their paws off and I'm like, oh, this is just like shit and salt.
Cause ew.
Like so many people like dog owners like, please just pick up after your dog.
God,
just pick up after your dog. Like it's not hard.
I saw someone that didn't pick up at the freaking vet. I'm like, seriously?
Really?
You let your dog crap outside of the vet and not pick it up?
Wow.
There's just like a level of shit to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was surprised.
That's wild.
But yeah, that is gross to think about. It all melting.
Yeah, what? I know. It's all melting and then they're like tracking it in the house.
Yeah, and my kids are scooping up the like remnants of the snow and eating it.
Oh my goodness.
It's good for their immune system,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Lord. All right, let's play your set.
Okay.
This is Shine by Doughboys.
Ooh.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! This is CFRC, 101.9 FM, www.cfrc.ca, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario.
Hey everyone, it's 8 p.m. on Saturday and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM. Welcome to Peace, Love, and Jenny. This program's all about the classics, with the spotlight on the sounds of the 60s and 70s, plus a few modern artists who bring that same timeless vintage feel. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Spanning decades, but all connected through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. Hello, hello. This week's theme on Peace, Love, and Jenny is one I'm honestly surprised I have not done sooner. It is jazz, then and now. So today I've got a mix of classic jazz standards along some new artists keeping that style alive. So it's a fun way to hear how that sound has evolved while also realizing that great jazz never really goes out of style. So to start things off strong, I had to go with a classic from old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, with It Had to Be You. When Sinatra recorded the song in the 1950s, he turned it into that smooth, crooner-style version many people know today. What makes his recording so memorable is how relaxed and conversational it feels, almost like he's telling a story. Sinatra was known for choosing songs where he could really perform the lyrics, and this is why it fits him so perfectly. So instead of sounding overtly dramatic, it feels confident. So here it is, It Had to Be You.
Why do I do just as you say? Why must I just give you your way? Why do I sigh? Why don't I try to forget? It must have been that something lovers call fate kept me saying I had to wait. I saw them all, just couldn't fall till we met. Had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and I finally found the somebody who make me be true, and could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do for nobody.